Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name is Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I do take issue with people who are very, very rich telling us how to be happy when actually the kind of the tell is that they're very rich.
What, can't you afford to put quartz up your vagina?
Because men don't like to talk about their bottom.
Well, you've heard it here first, listeners.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by screenwriter and all-round legend, Sally Abbott.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh my God, Sally has written like all manner of things, but also crime things. So we got The Coroner, which you created. We've got Death in Paradise, which you wrote. We've got Vera, which you wrote.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mates. We've got a crime specialist
here. Fucking legend in the studio.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do like to kill people.
And get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. Although not quite get away with it, because then we wouldn't have, I wouldn't get my denouement at the end.
Sure.
But yeah, nearly get away with it.
Okay, that nearly works. That's still
a
tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that idea of being like writing a crime drama and just being like, no, they got away. It's fine. They got away, so I don't have to write the ending.
Yeah.
So Sally, we asked one question on this podcast. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh God, I have been the victim of so many crimes.
Oh, go on.
So I've been, I'm not going to go near the heavy stuff.
No, no, okay.
Yeah, many don't.
Because I was flashed at in a chip shop in Bristol.
Oh my God,
and I saw the police, and I said to the police, but I was really good because I did psychology at university. Oh. So I said, I didn't get weapon focus, which is when you've got aimed at you.
Yeah.
You don't look at the person's face because you just concentrate on the gun. Yeah. So it's same principle with flashing.
Same principle.
But you don't look at that. You look at the face. But anyway, I've also...
Oh my God, I love also, that you've had all the terms.
Yeah, but I've also been...
They flashed the wrong person.
Yeah, I've been burgled four times.
Oh, in Bristol again?
No, I lived in Liverpool for years, had nothing. Okay. Lived in Manchester. I had my car done over six times.
Oh,
I had
God.
It nicked four times. I was burgled twice in one place, and the second time was after my wedding, so they took all my wedding presents.
No!
And girls, you're gonna find this tricky. But they stole this bag that I'd made out of a skirt, and I'd made it when I was like 10.
Oh no.
And in it was everything I'd written up until the age of 26.
No.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I know.
That's so horrible.
So this is the thing I'm going to tell you, because so these people that did, I mean, also I've worked with young offenders because I used to work in theatre, so I've done quite a lot of rehabilitation stuff. Anyway, so they nicked all this stuff after our wedding, and we did a really stupid thing of talk to the local press, who then put another angle on it, which I won't go into, but it was pre-social media, so that was good. A few weeks later, I noticed this thing had come out of my bank account.
Ooh.
And what it was they hadn't taken my checkbook, but they'd taken out some checks at the back.
Oh my God.
I didn't think the checkbook was stolen.
You never noticed them checks.
And are you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
Go on.
They bought their home insurance with it.
So you got their address?
I got their address.
Fucking hell!
They thought I was Celine Burns, which is my married name is. I'm Sally Burns.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I don't know what happened, but I did tell the police about it. So yeah.
Oh, so you got them now?
So, well, I hopefully got them. But it was, oh God, yeah, it was just, I just met my husband the first time I got burgled. And it was really like full on.
It's like this thing you do together.
Yeah, we just this thing we do. Go and get burgled.
we'll share it with you.
We'd been in Asda when I was burgled, and I came back and it because we just met like that week. And in fact, we got engaged that night.
Oh my God.
Because we got engaged after 6 days. And we'll be married this year for 22 years.
Yes! Oh, that's so cool, man. That's amazing.
Thank you.
What a romantic burglary story.
Yeah,
so, ladies out there, if you want to bag a man, get yourself burgled.
Yeah, get yourself burgled. Yeah, and it was because I worked at a theatre, so like our master carpenter came and fixed the door and whatever. And I was just like, oh my God. But we ended up leaving Manchester when the road we were on, where we hadn't been burgled, but the car had been stolen about three times. And what they used to do was they would steal the car because they wanted to get home to like Wigan or whatever.
Oh.
And we were in Burnage, where Oasis were from. So they would just nick the easiest car to nick, go and park it generally near a swimming pool. Just drive it home, leave it near a swimming pool. And then you get a call from the police going, oh, your car's here. Parked really oddly. And then you'd have to go and get it back. But then we had a shooting at one end of the road and a stabbing at the other. And we just were like... And every pub we went to had bouncers. Even though there were only three people in, they still had bouncers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love the idea of someone that steals a car rather than gets a taxi.
I know. But do you know what? The last time, they had removed, because I hadn't put the car lock on it. It was like when you had wheel locks.
Oh, yeah. So they'd
left that.
Stuff.
Yeah, so they left that on my front step for me, along with the baby seat.
That's a lot of
which
questions.
Which is a little bit like, a little bit aggressive. A little bit aggressive, like, you should have put your lock on, shouldn't you?
Wow.
That's
what I saw. Weird. I know. There you go.
Oh my God. It's a sarcastic burglar.
Oh, I'm in the worst.
Also, I've got time on my hands because I'm so good at this that I can take,
I can make a statement.
It is hard to get a child seat out of the car.
It takes
20 minutes to do that.
Do you know what? And I think it's more than sarcastic. I think it's a judgmental burglar.
Well, that'll teach her.
Yeah. That is a mum's net burglar.
So we sometimes say to people on this, like, what would you say to that person who stole your car but left the car seat but was sort of sarcastic with it?
What would I say to them?
Say it to my face, bitch. Sorry.
I think do you know what? It's like, oh God, this isn't very funny. And I know this.
I haven't worked
with young offenders. In particular, I work with burglars.
Okay.
And that made me a lot less scared of the burglaries because I didn't ever think they were personal.
Yes. Right. Okay.
Because they never think it's personal. Hmm. Like we used to do this thing with them where we do a lot of research, so we knew what our burglars had done, what they'd gone down for, and we were working with probation stuff and everything. And then we would create victims that would match the crimes they'd done.
Okay.
And with one of them, we were hot seating this victim. And this victim said, you know, I was upstairs when you were burgling me and I was really worried you were going to come upstairs and rape me.
Wow.
And I would never rape you. And, all right, so you're just going to be there going, I'm not going to rape you, missus. I'm just going to take all your jewellery and all your
money. I'm one of you guys.
And it's like, they don't think of it. And it's like, wow. we used to do this thing with them about day two or day three where you'd say to them, can you bring in something that's really important to you? And it might be, it's the only photo they've got of their mum.
Wow.
Or it could be a little thing they've got off their dad, or it might be something that's tiny, not worth anything.
Sure.
And then we go round and we take them all away from them, and they go, when you take that bag, you're taking things in it that we can't replace.
Wow.
And they used to get very, very, very upset
that
day, at the end of that day, because for the first time they were having to empathize with the victims. Ooh. So I would I would say to the person who did that with my car, right, okay. Let's nick your car.
Let's do that.
Yeah. And also, like, you lazy fucker, get a taxi.
That's probably a
three
train,
quid.
Isn't it? Three quid.
And it's up north, it would have been about 2 quid.
Wow. Well,
that is one of the best answers.
Yeah. It is really interesting, isn't it?
Because it's like, that's proper.
If you're a victim of a crime, you genuinely feel like the worst thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And if, you know, and the idea that, a perpetrator is there going like,
I'm not one of them.
A dialogue between them is actually how we solve this.
But we did this thing as well, one of the other birds, which is where we did this thing called forum theatre, where you get people to rehearse a situation. So a situation where they would say, like, we would do things about, like, so let's call this guy Dan, right? So we would keep reenacting situations where Dan would get tempted to be to offend, right?
Okay.
And then you keep practicing in them. And then in the end, because every time I managed to persuade him to come on the rob with me in character, and in the end we worked out the only thing Dan could do was run away the moment he saw anybody that he knew, because he would just go along with it.
Well, that was the only way
He got caught in his first burglary because he fell off a wall and broke his leg. And we were like, don't do this. Just don't do this. It's a career.
Man, just say no, Dan.
Just say no. Sometimes that's handy, isn't it? It's like, I was going to go for a life of crime, but I'm very clumsy.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. A real liability to the team.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan, you're out. Guys, talking of liability, today we're talking about a true crime of a woman called Linda Hazard. And she was a bit of a hazard.
Oh, God, not Linda.
Come on.
You know Linda?
No.
Okay.
But I've heard she's trouble.
She's a bit of a bloody hazard.
She sounds like trouble. Is that her real name?
Linda Hazard was responsible for the deaths of more than 40 people.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
That is a bit of a hazard, isn't it?
It's not as lighthearted as her name made it sound.
No.
I know.
I was thinking like of the Dukes of Hazard, but of course that was a place, not a surname. I was thinking she was in Hot Pants.
If at any point, if she's like sliding over the bonnet of a car and that makes it easier for you, that's okay.
What are her shorts like?
Guys were in the 1890s.
Oh, so maybe no shorts.
Probably. I mean, her underwear looks like shorts.
Yeah,
but
I don't think
underwear.
There wouldn't even be a car bonnet. Yeah. She'd be sliding over a
horse.
Oh my God, has anyone ever done that?
Is it more or less sexy?
I mean,
Wonder Woman probably has, but she's just done everything. Yeah.
That's the funniest fucking everything. Image I've ever seen. Just somebody sliding over two horses.
Oh, hi boys.
Getting caught in the reins and everything.
Oh God. Linda would call herself a doctor in the same way that Dr. Fox, Dr. Dre and Dr. Pepper would call themselves doctors.
Wait, it's the 1890s. There were no female doctors. How is she even...
This is the other thing, is that she's even more... I mean, she wasn't...
But also, speaking of Dr. Dre, Dr. Hazard is like a fucking ace hip-hop name.
Sorry.
No, basically, she called herself a doctor and she claimed that she had a method that was a panacea for all manner of ills because she was able to rid the body of toxins that caused imbalances in the body. What shit was she selling? What was she saying she could do?
Wait, she's trying to detoxify people in the 1890s.
Yeah, and she called herself a doctor.
Wait, is this this is before germ theory, right?
I think so.
So it's before germ theory, but it's after Freud.
Ooh.
So she could be, I mean, it could just be cocaine.
This would be a much better story if there were all.
Actually, yeah, is it to do? Is it more devilly? Is it, what are the toxins?
Is it witchcraft? Is yeah. it not witchcraft? Sorry, is it more like natural medicines kind of?
Yeah,
thing?
It's kind yeah. of. It's more. It's diet based.
I'm sticking with blowjobs.
We've got blowjobs. We've got.
Nothing solid.
What are you saying?
Nothing solid shall pass my lips.
This, I mean, Sally is getting close. She's getting okay. close. She's getting close because it was fasting.
Oh, right.
This is what she was pushing. So, according okay. to her book, The Science of Fasting, she studied under Edward Hooker Dewey, MD, who was a real doctor. And was a champion of fasting. He himself...
Hooker and Hazard. This fall on CBS.
Would watch. Although I'd be disappointed when it's all about dieting.
They'll
for fuck's
cure
sake.
You or kill you.
Yeah. Oh, that is the tagline. Now that's I will good. Watch it again. Yeah. Even yeah. when I find out what it is, I'll be like, no, they're going to do something.
Yeah.
So he himself...
When you stop eating, you discover what's eating you.
Ooh. Should we write? Like, let's stop this recording now.
She was hungry for life.
Oh my god! Yeah. Oh,
and yes. then she realised she was just hungry.
And then she was like, "I've just got to get off Instagram. It's really bad for me."
Only they didn't episode. Have Instagram, so it was just really rapid portrait sketching.
Yes. Yes. She was like, I'll never have those eyebrows. It doesn't matter. I'm
fine.
No,
it's fine. We'll rub them out with the rubber and you'll never see them again.
So Edward Hooker Dewey, MD, wrote a book called The No Breakfast Plan.
The No Brexit
Sorry,
Plan.
Sorry, no. I think we all heard Brexit and yeah. we got a little sad.
We could do with that book right now. No, it's called The No Breakfast Plan.
We would have voted
no
differently.
No Breakfast yeah. Plan.
What do you think that was about?
Is that like going to school because you're too nervous to go to school? Because that's Wait, how I live.
It's called the I'm gonna really push myself out on a limb here, and I think it might be about not eating breakfast.
Oh, Sally, you crazy cat! Katie, do you want to elaborate on that?
No eggs. You can have toast.
It is. It's to skip breakfast. You are completely right.
Yeah, I don't know what gave that away. I think it was the no breakfast bit of the diet.
I mean, you just read into it.
Yeah, I did.
Some of Edward Hooker Dewey, MD's theories were labelled... I just love that name.
Hooker Dewey.
Hooker Dewey. That's his name.
Hooker Dewey.
Is that hyphenated, like Hooker hyphen Dewey?
There's no hyphen in...
It's just Hooker just Dewey.
Any
Hooker
of it.
Dewey.
Okay. No. So is he called Dewey or Hooker?
His surname is Dewey, so I could have just said Edward Dewey, MD.
Edward Dewey.
Dewey. D-E-W-E.
Okay. Where's the hooker come from?
Eddie it was
hooker
just in Dewey. The middle of his
it
name.
Didn't, okay. It didn't mean prostitution back then, right?
No, it probably meant...
Punching in the face.
Yeah. Way better.
Edward punching in the face, Dewey, MD.
Yeah.
Some of his theories were labelled foolish delusions and irrational in the
by
extreme.
By who? His peers? Or
well, yeah, by his peers, newspapers? By reviewers, by everyone.
So he's not peer-reviewed, this guy?
No. And also, like, he said skip breakfast. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, now they tell you to definitely eat breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Who is?
Because it would be called, like, don't breakfast.
Hey.
Don't break fast, because that's what breakfast is. Break
yeah, you're
fast.
Breaking the fast of nighttime and not fast. Eating.
Yeah, it's basically just reverting it to fast.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God.
Good morning, fast.
Yeah. Well,
he
Linda,
knows nothing about grammar.
Old bloody Linda. Linda Hazard, she believed it, and she
all
released
limbs
a book.
A hazard with her hot pants sliding over those corsets.
Excuse me.
I mean, the thing about this story, which I love, is everybody was bloody releasing a book. And we think that self-publishing has only come in the last 10 years. But my God, Linda self-published a few absolute bangers.
Hot for it.
She released a book called Fasting for the Cure of Disease.
Mm.
And she wrote in what I would say is a kind of 50 Shades of Grey manner. So, like, I mean, it might just be the voice that I'm about to do, but this is a direct quote. Appetite is craving. Hunger is desire. Craving is never satisfied, but desire is relieved when want is supplied.
What
does that mean?
Was she originally English?
Oh, I think she's American.
Was she American? Because that's so kind of like...
We were repressed too, though. Don't forget.
Yeah,
Depends
yeah,
which bit.
But it's like... I don't know, I'm really drunk now. I can't remember what I was going to say.
But it's...
She's just trying to be a bit wanky, isn't she?
I think it's a bit wanky.
If you don't understand what I'm saying, you can just go, well, obviously you're not very bright, but if you can't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, because appetite is craving.
If you don't get it, I'm not going to tell you.
But she also is stating the obvious.
Yeah, yeah. She's just sort of going like, oh, yeah, you're really hungry.
And she's reading out the dictionary.
Yeah. So what she did, she created a sanitarium called Wilderness Heights, where inpatients fasted for days, weeks, or months. So there were three specific things they were told to eat.
And this is how California was founded.
Yeah. What are their ailments, though?
All sorts of things. All sorts of manner of ills. Some people didn't even have eating disorders. Well, this is the thing. It wasn't necessarily a diet, which is interesting. Nobody at that time, I think, was craving being thinner. It was it was to try and get rid of their ills, which is insane. Because
all these incurable things that we're walking around with.
Yeah, and then she told them that there was three things that they could eat over this crazy, crazy time.
Ooh, ooh. I know we say this about everyone, but she's the Gwyneth Paltrow of her day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was going like, to say that. I'm like, we've said
it before. We go to this well a lot, but it's just, and I don't want to like,
it's a deep well.
Apparently she's really nice. Why does everyone pick on her? But it's not science. It's really detrimental to everyone's health.
I have to say, I do take issue with people who are very, very rich telling us how to be happy when actually the kind of the tell is that they're very rich.
I think
I had somebody who was cooking all my food and doing all my housework and making me go and train and whatever, I think I could look like... maybe a slightly wrinklier version of Gwyneth Paltrow. but it's like, I just kind of go...
What,
it's just
can't you afford to put quartz up your vagina?
But it's like, that's genuinely not science. There was this thing, and I'm insultingly can't remember her name, but she's this person that's like her...
The gynecologist.
Mission.
Yes!
Yes! It was in the paper
I'm
recently.
I'm so sorry that I can't remember her name either, but she's amazing.
Her life's mission is to debunk it. Yes. And it's like, this is not science.
Well,
you're
debunk Gwyneth.
Yeah, because it's like so harmful. Women don't need those things, but they do need these things. And the real truth is getting lost. And it's hard enough to treat women because
and
of
also,
sexism.
Also, Gwyneth things are also very, very expensive.
Yes, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like what she's doing is like all this time that she's been doing Goop, I've felt sorry for her because everyone always attacks her. And for after reading this woman, I was like... I'm angry. Fuck this bitch. She's no defense of mine anymore.
She's very much the Gwyneth Paltrow of the day. Because
she likes to clean her vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't like. I like a messy vagina.
Bullshit.
Well,
she
just a bit like. Shouldn't you have some bacteria down there?
You need to have something.
There's a balance. There's a balance.
She's good bacteria.
Gwyneth Hazard. Let's go.
So the main diet, which was the question, guys, was the small amounts of tomato juice, asparagus juice, and occasionally a small teaspoon of orange juice.
Oh, okay. So you're just shit in your pants all day long.
Your piss is gonna stink.
That's
what a place to be.
And funnily enough, this was the least of their worries.
Wow. Oh, there was more going on.
So she had no medical degree, but was licensed to practice medicine in Washington through a loophole.
What's the loophole?
Love them loopholes.
Was she really pretty? What's the loophole?
That meant some practitioners of alternative medicine could practice without a degree. This was due to something called the grandfather clause. Nice. Anyone want to guess what a grandfather
clause is? Your grandfather's
a doctor.
Well, they
put you on their knee and they go, you do whatever you want to, honey. That's fine.
Here's a wellness original.
I got all the money, little Gwyneth. You can do whatever you want.
I'm gonna give you some homeopathy you can't refuse.
Well, the grandfather clause, in actuality, is
from Portland. Come on.
Is a provision in which an old rule continues to apply to some existing situations, while a new rule will apply in all further cases.
Oh, you were literally asking about a grandfather clause.
Yeah, I mean...
So that is Brexit. Again.
Well, kind of.
Until the new rules are written.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't understand any of that. It just sounded like something a man would do to confuse us little women with our small little brains.
Small bitch. That's what I did. Well, no, but basically...
Your daddy had a daddy and he had some big ideas.
He had his granddaddy's rules. Get it out when you need it.
But the grandfather clause is a crazy thing. Like, so this is a rule that basically says that she can sort of like do practice medicine in Washington.
Until and they outlaw it.
Well, yeah, but she can continue to do it because she was doing it before they changed the rules.
Wow.
And it's things like, you, so these days you'd have something like a phone bill and you'd have like your, you know, your phone tariff.
Yeah.
And if you were on an old phone tariff, you could continue to have that forever because you're like...
That's what I've done since 2008.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
But there are, I mean, there are all sorts of racist policies that are sort of this covered the by thing. The grandfather clause.
This is the thing, yeah. I was looking into it, and yeah, it's all
and yet
based
on protects racism.
Just by the nature of its name, it's very patriarchal.
It is. It's
yeah,
patriarchal.
Why isn't it the grandmother's clause?
Yeah, why isn't it grandmother's clause?
Well, that just means I know how to make a pie.
It is. If you look into it, it's a hugely racist, awful, like this whole thing is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
But she got away with it, so...
Yay, white women sometimes.
So in her book, Fasting for the Cure of Disease, she backed up her theories by saying that everyone throughout history was fasting. So the ancient Greeks thought that while eating, demons could enter your mouth. Could you imagine, like, who is that guy that's eating that's going, nah, 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 that demons are entering
me,
his
this
very
is drunk. Just like, I mean, like, yeah, they always did, but like, you know, the Romans would have a banquet and have pots by the side so they could vomit, so they could eat
that's
more.
That's true
things.
In the vomitoriums. That's not the right word, is it?
Vomitorium.
I like it though.
No, it is.
Should,
it actually is. Vomitorium.
Yeah.
But
vomitorium, probably. Like, in the Latin?
I've forgotten what it is now because I've had so much drink.
No, but it is. It's horrible.
What did you say,
yeah,
Hannah?
No, you're right.
It was the ancient Greeks. I was with the ancient Greeks.
Yeah?
And apparently...
The
and
Romans nicked it off them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And apparently even Jesus fasted from time to time. So
he did. 40 days and 40
banged
nights.
Banged on about it in the Bible. Wow. He's the Gwyneth of the Bible.
Yeah.
Couldn't it's fit it in.
Famous. I think he did it like for 30 to 60 days. I don't know how many days.
Couldn't fit it into 40 pages though, could he?
40 days and 40 nights. So, but the thing is, if you've got Jesus on your side in the 18 whatever's, I can't even remember, I wrote this, but...
2,000 years ago.
So she continued to take inpatients into the wilderness heights. And when people started not coming out of the wilderness
can
heights...
Can I just ask something?
Go on.
Right, these wilderness heights,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it a cave on top of a mountain?
Do you know what? It's not.
Where is
it's
it?
An actual,
it's a building.
It's in Washington. So it's a proper kind of thing. It's a proper house. It's a proper...
place with laws.
But it makes me think of that the hotel in The Shining. When you said wilderness
yes,
heights.
The overlook.
That's what I thought was the overlook. Come here. Don't eat. Let's see who comes out at the end.
It has such a big vibe of that. This whole thing has... I mean, fucking hell. Wilderness heights sounds like something out of a really cool horror movie, right? Like, it's kind of...
it's got flashes
well, a bit on the nose.
I mean,
to be honest, it's a bit on the nose.
So basically, we're looking for a name that the locals started to call Wilderness Heights after they realized
Red Rum, Red Rum,
Murder Heights.
You're close.
Hungry Heights.
That's very close.
Don't go there if you want to live to Heights.
Guys, it was Starvation Heights.
Right.
Good, yeah, that's just some
right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Hungry Heights is just halfway up to the peak.
Yeah. No, you didn't go
I'm
full
hungry,
piece.
I'm not starving.
Yeah.
So it attracted many clients, some of them very wealthy.
Oh my God.
If her patients died, she said it was because of something they would have died from anyway, and not because of the starvation.
TB.
Exactly. And
gonorrhea.
Also, there was, she gave them daily enemas, like the whole place was fucked up.
We went to the Gwyneth card too soon. I'm sorry. Continue.
Can I just say though, if you're like, surely, if you're doing daily enemas, you are going to have zero bacteria left in your gut.
Ooh.
This is the thing. They continue to do it.
Yeah.
I said that
antibiotic
is
mountain.
You are.
I said antibiotic mountain because they would have no probiotics.
By the way, I guess that this is pre-germ theory. I have no idea at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, so one guy called Earl Edward Erdman kept a diary while he was there.
Edward.
And he's got a crazy name.
I just have a lot of Erdman and they change place sometimes. Earl Edmund Erdman.
And he kept his diary.
Sure, you're okay.
And yeah, fine. And do you know what? I printed almost the whole of his diary, but I'm just going to read extracts because it's crazy. So February 1st.
Earl, day 3, enema number 5.
But yeah, he doesn't mention the enemas. Sure, you wouldn't diary about them.
Because men don't like to talk about their bottoms.
And that's why...
Unless it's something you don't want to hear. And then they're like, hey, yeah. I had a great shit the other night.
Yeah, yeah, come and look.
It looked like Canada. Or maybe Northern Ireland. Getting free of Great Britain.
So on that note...
I don't want to see that shit. That's a freedom shit.
Freedom shit.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Earl Edmund Erdman said, February the 1st, saw Dr. Hazard and began treatment on this date. No breakfast, mashed soup for dinner, mashed soup
sorry.
For supper.
So mashed soup?
Sorry. It's already liquid.
Mashed soup.
I have some problems.
So doesn't he just mean soup?
Yeah.
Or is does that like he mean, jumping in puddles?
Or is he doing like mashed vegetables with a bit of water on top?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Here's mashed soup again, everybody.
Oh, yay! We have questions.
Do you
I'm
know
sorry,
what?
Is this organic?
I cannot
is it
answer
organically
them.
Mashed?
But mashed soup...
Is it gluten-free?
This was the last time he had a proper supper. Because
what, mashed soup?
Mashed soup was the big one. And then we go on about a week and it's two oranges for breakfast. No dinner, no supper.
Hang on. He had breakfast? I'm very confused already.
No breakfast.
So many holes.
He's had breakfast.
Hey,
but can I also say as well, like two oranges is a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of oranges.
Well, for somebody
it's
in starvation.
It's for somebody starving that is.
Oh my God, this is what they do when they're trying to control people in cults. They starve them and then give them loads of sugar.
Yeah, because then you get a high. And
yeah.
Shit, this might be what's happening.
Sorry, continue.
Have we just solved this?
I think we might have solved this. It's a cult. But this is interesting what you say about the cult, because he said, on February 16th, he said, one hot of strained tomato soup, AM and PM, slept better last night, head quite dizzy, eyes yellow, streaked and red.
Oh, that's
so
what's
he's got
it called?
Jaundice.
Yeah, my baby had that. Continue.
February 17th, ate three oranges today. Again, that's the cult thing, giving them three oranges. And it goes on and on and on. Slept but little last night, ate two oranges at 9 a.m, went after milk and felt very
bad. Hang on, say what, 9 a.m at 9 a.m or 9 p.m?
He ate two small oranges at 9 a.m.
They're getting breakfast oranges.
Breakfast
and
oranges.
Then he goes on about how he feels poorly. He doesn't feel great. He feels kind of bad.
Do you think it might be because he's only eating oranges?
Yeah,
and
he's going high and then
crashing.
His body's going to starvation and then he's feeling grateful when he gets sugar.
100%. So 56 days after he'd been...
Oh.
In starvation
fuck.
Heights.
That's enough to control a person.
We don't know his ailment.
We don't know his ailments, but it's never... It's interesting because it's never to do with losing weight. It's not to do with looking better. It's
side effect.
And also people that didn't even have ailments, there was this obsession with sort of feeling
more
better
healthy.
And looking better and being healthier.
So one of two things. Either he died and then these are his testament... Or he came out of there feeling absolutely fucking great.
Yeah.
And then his diaries became, eat the oranges, guys!
Yeah. I was too negative.
That wasn't it, was it?
Earl of the oranges.
He died. He died.
Yeah.
Very, very dead.
It's got to be said that a few people at this place did say they felt better. However,
I could maybe eat five oranges today.
Maybe five. Earl was hospitalised and died of starvation. So before Linda was
that
taken...
That was his cause of death.
Starvation.
Not whatever he had. Fucking starvation.
Starvation. But he,
fuck.
Linda wasn't taken to court by him. She was taken to court by another person and was accused of the murder of Claire Williamson, who was a wealthy British woman. She weighed made less than £50 at the time of her death.
Hang on. So £50 is... Yeah.
£50
under four stone? Or just over four stone.
Her periods were definitely of stone.
Do you think she was found guilty of the murder of this woman?
No, well, I think they would have found her innocent of it and would have said it was Linda. She was obviously very poorly.
Okay, yeah, that's what Linda would have said.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Okay.
And because she was, what was she? She was from England and she was rich.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think her family...
called in the big favours.
Well, I think her family would have gone, hold on, we're not sure about this. And also they might be a little bit litigious and think they could get some money. But looking at your face, Hannah, I'm thinking not a word that I've said is anywhere near
it. That's interesting because that's back in the olden days when Britain was more litigious than America.
So now we steal everything from you. So I guess we learned how to be litigious.
Well, in 1912, she was convicted of manslaughter. So it wasn't murder, for the death of Claire Williamson. So she
and
was.
Did they shut down the ranch or whatever the hell it was called?
Well,
Wilderness Heights.
Wilderness Heights. Yes.
Hungry High. Yeah, this spring on Fox. Yeah.
At the trial.
I'm hungry. So am I, Patricia. Let's
have an orange and then nothing else. Shut up.
But this is where it goes a bit weird because it was proven that Hazard had forged Williamson's will and stolen most of her valuables.
So she's not just...
Now, can I just say...
Go on.
...that I think that if her parents had anything to do with this, that is why, because they were going to lose money.
Yes!
Interesting, okay.
But totally wrong.
Well, it brings some more family members in. So Williamson's sister.
I thought she was just a well-meaning spiritual healer up until now, but she wants money.
She's a bit of a. She's
so there's a bit of me that's going. Have I already written this as a script? There is a little bit of me going. This is a little bit like something that I've done.
But you can say it's based on a real thing.
Yeah.
So Williamson's sister Dorothea also took the treatment. And it is alleged only survived because an uncle showed up just in time to remove her from the compound.
Why the fuck did a British family...
I know.
English-British family British, go, I know, we've got two daughters that aren't very well.
And we're
that
all really
potentially
rich.
Are a bit funny about their food. Why don't we send them to America?
Yeah, where anything could happen.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's Wilderness Heights. Sounds like a great place to go.
Yeah.
It's very, it's really odd because in one...
Women didn't get to travel alone very much in those days either.
Well, maybe that's why they went, because they went together.
Actually, and also, British women famously were allowed to travel. I've been reading Charlotte Bronte novel, Villette. And she's unusual. So she travels on her own. She's British and she travels to France.
To become a governess?
Like a teacher governess at this French school. And everyone's like, oh, you're travelling on your own. Oh, you're British. Oh, fine, yeah. And
like, you tart.
Yeah, they like, the British were like, yeah, whatever, we trust our women. Whereas the French women were like, no, you must be chaperoned. And that was like this big divide, like on the continent.
Yeah,
and
the French women used to wear dresses that had their breasts exposed with their nipples rouged.
Well, that I cannot comment on.
Imagine rouging your nipples. Anyway, so,
in my head I've got Jack Nicholson running this health spa in 1890s America.
And there's some tits.
With loads of topless women.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially that.
I'm not going to hurt you, Earl.
So how do you think the Williamson sisters raised the alarm to the uncle?
A letter?
I mean, it's not
there's not that many alarms in that day.
Okay. So by the time that the uncle got there, Claire had already died. Dorothea was too weak to leave on her own, weighing less than £60. And the uncle was made to pay more than $1,000 as a ransom to get her
out. Hold on a minute.
Go on.
Right, so
taking
a dark turn. What year is this? This is 1890.
Yeah, it would be like early
1900s. So that is like hundreds of thousands of
It's a lot of money. Yes. It's a lot of money.
So why was that? Are you going to tell us?
Well, no, not really. I mean...
Why did he have to pay all that...
She's a charlatan. She's this kind of fraudster.
No, but why can he just...
Pay us to get your family member
Why did he
out?
Have to pay her all that money? Did he say, you're doing such a great job. In fact, we want all the family to come. Let me put a little down payment down and they can come on.
It's a good question.
And where was Sexy Samuel?
Well, Dorothy...
He was looking mournful at the window and there was just one solitary tear.
Because of his past trauma, which we still don't know.
Yeah. So Dorothea
maybe
later.
Maybe series 3 we'll find out.
But in series 4 I think they're going to get together.
Nice.
Or maybe it's with his sister.
Her sister. Because her sister would be like...
Okay, if that happens, I'm stopping watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Dorothea testified
Hunger
against
Hill
Hazard
on Netflix.
At trial. So there was a trial and the prosecution entered evidence showing Linda forged checks and was fraudulently draining the estates of her victims.
Oh, Linda!
But old bloody Lind, she claimed that she was the victim of an organised persecution from the medical profession.
Oh, that's such a phrase.
She
I'm
said...
I'm being persecuted, it's a witch hunt.
Literally, she said to the press... I intend to get to the stand and show up that bunch. They've been playing checkers, but now it's my move. I'll show them a thing or two when I get to the stand.
What are you going to do with your checkers, Linda?
Do you think her lawyer ever let her take the stand?
I'm kind of hoping that her lawyer was related to Samuel.
Sexy Samuel.
The orderly who is in love with Dorothea, obviously.
Yeah.
I would imagine that her lawyer would go, don't go anywhere near that sound.
Yeah.
And because you sound like you're a murderer.
Yeah. An angry murderer.
Taylor, anything to add? Because no. Sally has sort of got it spot on. No. So Hazard was sentenced to 2 to 20 years in prison.
Two to twenty. We can't make a mind up. Maybe it's only 24 months. Maybe it's like
how long do you think she served?
Yeah.
And I think so two. Probably about a year and a half.
Taylor?
Oh, 4.5 years.
It depends. I mean, like, if maybe 20. Any of the stories gain traction later, then maybe, like, oh, she needs to stay in
but
prison.
7 years.
It's a little bit like, well, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because eating disorders are really, really complicated. And I would imagine, I mean, and it's like, I know that, like, you know, most eating disorders are not about getting thin. They're about having control about your life and everything. So I don't know, because I imagine a lot of her patients might feel quite grateful.
Some of them did, which is crazy. Some of them were like, oh, this is, you know.
Oh, did she die in prison?
No, she said 2 years.
Oh, that's what I said, 2 years.
You
what?
Did, and you told you, yeah, 2 years. 2 years.
It the was, minimum it was sentence. The
no, literally, the governor, Ernest Lister, gave her a full pardon.
Wow.
Bearing in mind, she'd literally forged someone's fucking will.
So that's amazing.
So... why did he give her a fall?
Because she had a hot body.
Was she hot? Is this what it is?
I tried to find out why he did it and I couldn't find out. But all I know is, what do you think she did next? She moved to a different country. What
can
country?
I say, though, what about if the reason he did that is because his wife had gone to stay at Wilderness Heights and he'd wanted to get rid of his wife. And so she'd gone up to Wilderness Heights. She'd starved to death on her one orange
day. And he
day,
was glad.
And he
thickens.
Was glad. And it was like, yeah, this is right. And she'd said, I want to go. I want to go. Darling, I want to leave. I want to leave. She's from London. It's like, darling, I just want to leave. I want to leave. You've got to get him out of Hunger Heights, Starvation Heights. And he's gone, but you look so much better.
Oh.
And then she goes.
That's a sad storyline.
And he goes, okay. Little Miss Hazard in your hot pants, sliding over those horses. Slide over your horse once more and we'll give you the minimum sentence.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, a deal was done.
This is very...
To kill the judge's wife.
Is that it? Have we got it, Hannah?
It's very well what could have happened.
But it wasn't
know.
Anything like
Hannah,
it.
Hannah, could have prove it?
That's what's exciting. It could have been.
I think he was getting blowjobs off her.
But she and her husband moved to
she's married.
Hey,
there's a Mr. Hazard.
I don't know, she got married at some point, who gives a shit. And
is
she moved to New Zealand.
He did the accounts, Katie.
He wasn't.
Did he? She's no. Nicky Wills.
Was he actually Dorothea's dad?
Was he the grandfather?
Was he the grandfather? Was he the grandfather that created the grandfather's law?
Do you know what
his name was? Claus. Grandfather Claus.
see what she did there?
They moved to New Zealand where she practiced as a dietitian. They went to New Zealand.
I mean, that's not close. I'm just going to point that out geographically.
Particularly in like 1910 or something.
I mean, you have to take like a paper aeroplane.
Isn't New Zealand like literally the other side of the world?
Mm-hmm. The other side of the world.
Literally is.
I mean, it does look like a very green England. It's beautiful.
So she moved to New Zealand where she practiced as a dietitian and osteopath. Do you think that you can get away with just pretending to be a doctor in New Zealand?
No, do you know what? I like to think that New Zealand has got much higher standards than they have in America or Britain. And so they saw her for what she was, and they got her sorry fucking ass in prison. But looking at your face, I don't think that's what
happened. Sally, I think she sailed into the sunset.
Sally was completely right, and she was charged in Auckland under the Medical Practitioners Act for practicing medicine without being registered to do so. Yeah. So she was fined £5 plus costs.
That'll teach you. £5!
This is more serious than pedophiles.
Yep. Apparently £450 today.
What?
No, sorry. £5.
Is that really the exchange rate?
Yeah.
Not exchange, but you know, inflation.
That's probably more.
It's worth more like £5 billion.
It's £5 billion. Guys, it's £5 billion. So what was next for Linda?
I've been listening to a whole load of stuff about Hollywood and all the money they earn, and it must be at least £500 million.
Yeah. Well, you've heard it here first, listeners.
It's £450.
So what was next for Linda, guys? I can tell you that she returned to Washington after
she has to pay a fine in New Zealand and then leave.
She had to leave.
Did she do a podcast?
it would have been huge. She doesn't get arrested.
She pays the fine and she fucks up.
No, so she goes back to Washington. What do you think she did once she was there?
What's your name? My name is Duke. Really? I have an idea for
Can
you.
I wear shorts yet? No? Okay.
But look at those two horses over there with that car. Can I just can I just slide over them? I think that she married Dorothea's father. And he was really glad to get his two daughters out of the way because he'd always known she would kill them, and that's what he wanted. And it was all a thing just to get to her because he was obsessed with Daisy Duke from Hazard County, and he got confused.
I love having drama writers on this because that is way more interesting.
Yeah.
But really, she returned to Washington, opened a new sanitarium, but because the grandfather clause no longer...
Low Mountain.
Ooh, the law had changed.
Yeah, it no longer admitted to her.
How did she navigate that?
So she, it was known publicly as a school of health.
Ugh.
Her medical license had been revoked. But yeah, she continued to supervise fast until something happened in 1935. What happened?
Everybody died.
1930 what?
Five.
Oh, 35. Well, we're knee-deep in depression.
Something happened specifically to the School of Health.
Penicillin!
I think that she got somebody in who was actually really, really super well connected, whether or not it was one of the Hearsts or one of the things. And actually, she's now got somebody who is really rich and really well connected, and they are going to bring that motherfucker down.
Wait, okay. All of the amazing, miraculous medical advances that have happened in the last century were between the 1930s and the 1980s. That was when kidney dialysis was invented. That was when all of the big drug advances. Nothing that impressive has happened since the 80s.
Okay.
Something good happened in 1935.
There was no way you were going to get this.
Hold on a minute. Can I? Okay.
Go on. No. Okay. Okay. Sally sees a challenge. She sees a challenge.
You're never going to get this. I think you underestimate us, Miss George. Okay. I mean, of course, the other thing is that Hollywood is around. So maybe somebody in Hollywood has gone, hey, I'm going to buy the rights.
She signs an option.
I'm going to buy the rights to this story. And as they investigate it, they go, hold on. She's a fucking murderer. She's killed all these people.
Yeah, 40 odd
and
people.
And then they go, let's get a law, let's get a case against her. Mm. And maybe it's a class action because maybe Alicia Florrick has got involved. And Diane.
Do you know what? It's something that very specifically happens to her very specific building that she's in.
She gets thrush. It's
I love that your vagina is your building.
It catches fire. It gets flooded.
Spot on. You guys said it at the same time. It burns to the ground.
With her in it.
I didn't say that. No, you guys win. I bow to you.
There was very, very little information about what happened, but it did burn to the ground. In 1938, she died. She died whilst fasting.
Oh, you're kidding.
She went on a fast.
Actually did?
And she actually died.
She got high on her own supply and died.
So she actually believed?
So basically, guys, she died whilst fasting. Here is to Linda Hazard. Cheers, guys!
Drunk women solving crime.
Okay, so now we go on to the last bit of the podcast, which is a listener crime.
Oh, yeah.
Now, today's crime comes from Adrienne, and she is a listener who has written to us. And this is an interesting case. And guys, I want you to listen up. So she says, "Dear drunk women, my question to you is, was I almost murdered?
Oh, shit.
I've always been active online since I was about 14 or 15. And also, I've always met people online, always in a public, and I've never had a problem. Fast forward to around 2002 or so." So she was 14 or 15.
She's 14 in 2002.
She was 14 in 1994. So 2002, she'd be about sort of like 20.
22.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh shit, she's my age.
Sally can do maths. So she says, "I'm chatting online with a guy in Saskatchewan, Canada, and we're hitting it off. So after a while of chatting, I decide to go out to Saskatchewan and meet him. There was no red flags while planning the trip. I was staying in a hotel, and I think I had planned to stay for 10 days. Prior to this trip, I had met two other people that I'd met online and flew out and visit with them in a public place, which was fine. And that public place was an airport. So I met this guy in an airport because a psycho isn't going to kill you immediately in an airport."
I mean, solid, sure.
We can all agree.
Okay, good logic.
Yes. Yeah. The weird shit started happening after we left the airport. We go out to eat, and even though I tell him that I'm not very hungry because I'm so nervous, he orders me a lot of food and then gets mad at me when I say I can't eat even half of it.
Ugh, that is a red flag.
Uh-huh. He also starts lecturing me on my salt usage. I'm in my early 20s. Thank you, Sally. Salt usage isn't a big concern of mine. Regardless, he starts monitoring my salt intake. The next day...
Can I just say, I went to Champneys. Bit middle class,
oh,
I know.
Mate.
I had one holiday this
do
year.
It, do it,
one day at Champneys. And it's because I was 50, I'd got a gift voucher for loads of treatments at Champneys. And every single person I saw for treatment said... "You eat a lot of crisps, don't you?"
Oh my god!
You've got a lot of... Anyway, go back to your story. It's like okay. Getting the salt intake.
Right. Sally is on your side because this salt shit is crazy.
Yeah, but I don't like all the feeding them lots of food.
No, regardless, he starts monitoring my salt intake the next day.
My body, to the my main salt. Story.
Yeah. My body, my salt. The next day, we go in and get my lost... Oh, she lost her luggage on the way. She goes to get the luggage at the airport. And then he complains about the size of her luggage. And then they put it in the trunk of his car. And she sees that he has a shovel in the trunk.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, what month is this that she's come to stay?
I mean, this is Canada, so hang on.
Is there snow? What month is it?
I don't know exactly what month
it is. This is a pertinent question.
It really is.
But she says, "I'm like, you have a shovel in your trunk." And he's like, "Yeah, it's for the snow.
But don't worry about the cable ties."
right. So she says, basically, she comes from a place that has a lot of snow. And she's like, "That's not the kind of shovel you use for snow."
That's not a show shovel. Hang on.
That's not a snow shovel.
That's not a show shovel.
It's a show shovel with yes hands.
That'll be the catchphrase.
Yes hands assemble to you.
When we make the Disney version of this, "That's not a snow shovel. That's not a snow shovel.
This is just for murder. It's a murder shovel.
Dig me out of this bad date. Oh, I'm gonna go home real late and eat as much salt as I want. If I survive.
She says it's a spade. It's a dirt digging shovel. Oh. So she says she points this out to him, and he makes the excuse that any shovel can be used on snow. But she's from the northeast, and she knows.
But
she
just said dirt, and he said snow.
Yeah.
Well, that's semantically
different.
Let's
call the whole thing off.
So long story short, the trip was horrible. He was a complete nut job. He was just batshit.
You say murder.
I say murder. Manslaughter.
I say attention.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Or maybe let's just get married.
You no. say stalking. I say romance.
She paid $250 to leave 5 days early because it was horrible.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I think we can agree. I mean, okay, so she had one rule on this trip.
Yeah.
She said that she had to call her mum every single day at 4 o'clock. Yeah. And if she didn't call, her mum was literally going to immediately call the police and notify that she was dying in a ditch. And she wasn't joking. So every single day she made sure she called home at four. And she didn't tell her about the shovel in the trunk until maybe 10 years had passed. And she says, now listening to your podcast, I wonder if Name Redacted is some kind of unknown Saskatchewan serial killer. And because of my nagging mum, I wasn't murdered. Or maybe it was my salt intake. So was I going to be murdered? What do you think, okay. Adrienne?
I have to say, there are some pre-indicators for a murderer there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure. All the things on the list that, like, are now coercive control is a crime. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Mm. All of those things, there are some definite pre-indicators there that are slightly troubling.
Yes. I mean, I think the fact that she was meeting him in an airport.
Mm.
But not only that, right, that he was meeting her in an airport and going to take her off. So that is like, control. If you look at it from the other side, that's not totally a normal thing to be doing. Mm. And then immediately, like, criticize. I mean, the size of her luggage. I'm sorry, what is he, the baggage police? And it's like, so, but I just think she needs to be a bit careful about people that she goes out to meet. But also, she shouldn't be worrying about what nearly happened.
Okay.
She should be grateful for what didn't happen.
But also the biggest clue, Saskatchewan.
If this guy is still at large, we maybe need to just like have a cop call in on him, just check.
But
any,
can I just say,
his
like,
fingernails, any other DNA under there?
If you think guy is too good to be true. If you think a guy is too good to be true, then maybe it's because he is. But then having said that, I'm married, you know, I got engaged to my husband after 6 days, so he could have been a murderer. It could have been him who was stealing from me all the time.
Your salt intake, though?
I feel like the keepers don't insult your salt intake.
No one talks about your salt intake unless they're
that wasn't just the he insulted her luggage. He insulted her salt.
Yeah.
He was nagging her from the off.
Do you know what? And she left 5 days early. And I think...
Yeah.
Well, money well spent. Here's to Adrienne, because
you... And can I just say, that money that she... Because obviously it mattered to her how much money she had to spend to get out of it. That was every dollar was
worth it. Yeah, every dollar's worth it. Cheers. Here's to you, girl. Cheers.
And also, everybody listen to your... what's that word?
Instinct.
Yes!
Right, just before we leave, Sally, tell us what you're up to. What's next?
So, at the start of 2020, I don't know when it's going to be, but I've got an episode of Vera out.
Hello!
Hi!
Very, very, very excited about, because the kind of the central idea didn't change from the very first moment I met them.
Wow! That's amazing.
Special.
That's very cool. Special.
And then, first week of February, I've got my play, I Think We Are Alone, which is Frantic Assembly's 25th anniversary show, co-directed amazing. By... Scott from Frantic Assembly, Scott Graham, and Kathy Burke.
Whee! Come on!
The legend. And that opens in Plymouth at Royal first week of February. It then goes on to Liverpool Playhouse and then goes on a big tour, comes into London, goes off, and that's really, really, really exciting. So I feel a bit like this year has been like just all my dreams come true.
Yay! Oh, amazing! Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Hey, Hey, true crime fans, have you listened to Wine and Crime yet?
We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by three childhood friends who chug wine, chat true crime, and unleash our worst Minnesotan accents.
Each week, us gals pick a true crime topic and pair it with a delicious wine before delving into the background and psychology behind the crime.
Then we share and speculate wildly about a couple of bonkers cases related to the topic.
Past episodes include necrophilia, cults, crimes of passion, cruise ship disappearances, exorcisms gone wrong, all this over a bottle of wine, or, let's be real, three.
Listen anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Wine and Crime Pod, and check out our website and blog at wineandcrimepodcast.com.
Cheers!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.